where he learned some awesome lessons. He's currently married to Denise Free. Marnay Roush was married for 25 years to her sweetheart, Jim, who died after a 9-year battle of brain cancer. So she says that cancer was one of the greatest blessings in our life. It refined us and taught us how to turn our hearts to the Lord and trust Him completely. So I'll turn the time over to them. And here's some thank yous for you guys.
The mic will pick up me munching on this stuff. Well, welcome, everybody. We're actually kind of excited to be here and to see so many people. Obviously, great, Jean, I appreciate that. Obviously, you are interested in dating, so that's kind of exciting, maybe. But it's also a miserable experience in many respects. And so we're going to share a couple of things that we've learned along the way. And trust me, I made a whole bunch of mistakes, and I hope we have time to express some of those with you and to share. Marnay and I really decided today that we wanted this to be a conversation style. So we're going to move all of this stuff out of the way. And we have little chairs. Oh, do you want to go this way with it? So that we can just kind of be with you instead of kind of preach at you, because we really don't want to do that. One of the things that I'd like to ask first is, how many of you here today, by raise of hand, are 1 year and less in being single or having your spouse passed away? Okay, wow, there's a lot there. I hope we can cover part of that for you, because that's a rough time. And as well as dealing with all the firsts, you know, the first birthday, the first anniversary, all those things that you go through, and difficult as they are, trying to get back into that experience of finding someone else is really tough. Okay, how many of you are between 2 and 5 years? Okay, so you've got some little experience there with the dating game, so maybe we can get some of your responses. Anybody 5 and older? Okay, so these are the veterans of the dating game. All right, well, we really hope that we have something to share that will be meaningful today. And so Marnay and I are just going to kind of jump back and forth. We probably will step on each other once in a while, and that's okay, because, again, we chose conversation style. And by the way, if you have a comment or you'd like to speak up a little bit or say something, we're open to that. But we only have, you know, 55 minutes to get through all the stuff that we have. So, but we'd love to hear what you've got going on. And so we're going to go with it. So I'll let Marnay have her shot here.
Okay. Well, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Hear me now? What? You know what? I'm just going to turn this off. Okay, now can you hear me? Okay. So, can you hear me now? Okay. So, as they said in the introduction, Kelly had been widowed for 7 years before he married, and me, I've been widowed for 7 years as well. And so it's kind of interesting, because we've gone through a lot of the same experiences. Okay. I'll finally get this right. We both dated a lot in these 7 years that we've been single, and we've both struggled a lot in the dating experiences. We've had a lot of pain and heartache, and learned from that. And we've also observed a lot of our friends get into relationships that weren't healthy and get married and then divorced. And we've learned from that.
High divorce rate among widows and widowers, just keep that in mind.
60%.
At least, yeah. It's at least. Sorry, it's about 60-70%.
Wow. So, and Kelly, he was telling me the other day, 80% of his friends have all been divorced.
Yeah. I call it my class that I came into the group with. Those of us who have been married, most of us have been divorced. So that's part of the reason why we want to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah, because there's reasons why. And so anyway, yeah, our hope is to share the things that we have learned and the thing that we've watched others go through. And sharing those things with you hopefully will help in your journey as you head out and try to date. Try to date is the key word. Yes, it's a challenge. So first of all, when I was 6 years old, my mom decided to put me in swimming lessons. And I remember that first day I was standing at the edge of the pool and the instructor telling me to jump in and he'd catch me. And I, first of all, had no desired to be there. I resisted it. I'm like, I don't want to jump in this pool. And the instructor was saying, well, you know, I'll catch you. And he encouraged me. And so with a lot of patience, I finally jumped in. And he did catch me, but not before my head went underwater. And, of course, you can imagine I panicked. I thought I was drowning, and I was coughing and choking. And I remember feeling all I wanted to do was get out of that pool and back on solid ground. So, you know, I relate this story to how I felt when I first became widowed. I felt like I'd just been thrown into this pool of grief and was somehow should know how to swim through it. And, you know, I felt like I was sinking and I couldn't breathe. And all I wanted to do was get out on solid ground. And so the pain was so great. I remember thinking, how am I going to navigate this the rest of my life? And I thought, well, I've got four kids. And my youngest at the time was 10, and I thought, you know, she'll be 18 in 8 years. She'll be an adult. I can do it for 8 years, and I'll be done. That'll work, yeah. And I didn't know what that meant, but in my mind, it made me feel good. I'll just be done. I guess I'll die. I don't know. And that worked. And, it, you know, over time, I've changed, and I've grown, and I've learned, and I feel so much different now. It's been 7 years now, and I have learned a lot from that experience. Initially feeling that way. So Kelly, you want to talk about?
Yes, I will. I think I need to stand. I am so short that my feet don't touch the ground on this chair. So I think I better stand. You know, my experience was very similar. Those of you that are the 1 year out, maybe you can relate to where I was. I remember times in my life I was so lonely. I mean, bone-crushing lonely. There were times I remember being driven to my knees in tears. Those Fridays and Saturday nights where I was home alone and didn't know what to do and didn't have anybody to go do anything with, and how terrible that was. And I remember one of my friends said to me, you know, guys, we're always moving forward in this task-oriented. If there's a problem, you just get busy and you fix it. My friend says, 2 months out, dude, you just need to get back on the horse. Start dating. Get out there. Make it happen. So I got online, right? And I did a couple of the websites, and I was there for, I don't know, several months, I guess, and I couldn't buy a date. I would send a message to somebody, and they wouldn't respond. And I began to wonder, what the heck is wrong with me? I mean, I had a reasonable self-esteem at that point, but it was degrading quickly. So maybe it's my height, I thought. I don't know. But finally, after a couple of months, see, look at this. Okay. There's a good visual. After a couple of months, some sweet lady, and I don't remember who she was, I wished I would have recorded that, but she sent me a note, and she said, you know, you look like you're a really nice guy, but you also look like you're very sad. And I realized that I was very sad. The pictures that I posted up there were not, you know, me and my whatever. And I was really sad, and I was lonely, and I showed that to people. And nobody wants to date somebody who is showing that kind of thing unless you're a predator or you want to take advantage of somebody. And by the way, widows, I know a number of our widows in my class who married and then lost their money because somebody took advantage of them. So please be aware of that. That's a thing that happens frequently. So I got back in the game, and it was brutal. And so we're going to talk about three principles Marnie and I came up with that we shared in common that we hope will be beneficial to you.
I'm gonna pass those out.
Yep.
Okay, so we've developed a little handout that's going to review all that we're talking about, and there's a lot of references in there, and we don't want to spend a lot of time reading those references, so those are free for you to look up later. But the first principle that we're going to focus on right now is begin with the end in mind, finding joy in the journey. So what do you think it means to begin with the end in mind, finding joy in this journey? Oh, no, there's a little stack over there. Do you think the end means marriage? So no, exactly. Our ultimate goal is to return to live with our Father in heaven. This journey here on earth is meant for us to be joyful, and we can absolutely find joy by focusing on this end in mind versus focusing on remarriage. So marriage may happen, but it's not the focus. So just think about this. If you're hyper-focused on getting married, you're setting yourself up for a lot of sadness and disappointment if it doesn't happen. Or if you're hyper-focused on trying to find someone to fix your pain and your loneliness, that's really dangerous too, because you can end up getting into an unhealthy relationship and not recognizing it because you're so focused on your own pain, you don't realize the crazy person you're dating. And you laugh because it's true, though. I dated a homeless man. Yeah, and I thought he was really cute.
He was cute, yeah.
And I was okay with that. And it took, after you were removed from it, then you like, you know, you're like, oh man, what was I thinking? So anyway, this principle is to emphasize how important it is to take the time to heal. Take this time, this precious time that you have, to align your will with God's will and work at becoming the best person that you are and that you can become. Find out who you are, what you like to do, what makes you happy. Try new things. Find joy in serving. Find joy in finding fun, healthy people to build relationships with and have fun with, separate from the focus of marriage in mind. People are attracted to people who lift them, who are confident, who are happy and secure with themselves. An emotionally healthy person will attract another emotionally healthy person. And it will naturally revolve in dating and marriage if that's what's supposed to happen.
I guess it's my turn. So just a note about the service. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but one of the things that I got in trouble with, one of my dating things, was I thought I was offering service. We call it lip service, and that's a little bit of kissing, and sometimes that doesn't go along very well. So I'm going to spend a little more time about that. She just reminded me. One of the things I want to talk about right now, though, is the principle that Joseph Smith brought up, and you've heard this quote over and over again, but I think it's really important for us to understand here. Joseph Smith said that happiness is the object and design of our existence. Now, Marnie talked about the fact that what we're trying to get you to do, as soon as we find ourselves single, what's the thought that we have? We feel like we need to go get married again, all right? And what do you have to do to get married? Fall in love, you have to date. What do you have to do to date? You got to get out there, right? Yes, you got to get out. What did I hear back there? Did I really hear that? Okay. Yeah. All right. So notice that Joseph Smith's quote doesn't say that marriage is the object and design of our existence. And here's the reason. When you are focused on marriage, when everything about getting married is what you're worried about, what happens when you go on a website or you ask somebody out and they turn you down? What do you feel like when you get rejected? Okay, failure. Why? Because you're focused on being married. Your thoughts are, well, I must not be good enough. You start blaming yourself or maybe blaming God. Where that whole scenario changes if you're focused on happiness in life. If somebody rejects you, okay, it's going to affect you, but not. It shouldn't affect you as much. It doesn't matter because they're not the object of your living. Your happiness is. And quite frankly, people, it's about numbers and timing. And so don't sweat it when something doesn't happen just right. It's okay. Because God works in his way. And one of the things that I discovered as I look back is that God was in charge the whole time. He really was. And if I had just been patient in that promise, I would have had a lot less stress and a lot less problem in my life. So this goes on and it says, so happiness is the design of our existence and will be the end thereof. In other words, happiness will be the end if we pursue the path that leads to it. So what is that path? Okay, maybe. So it's not necessarily marriage, because one of the things that both Marnie and I talked about was at some point we realized that we might not get married again. And we had to accept that and find happiness in that role. Jean?
You know, that is so true, because I was pretty sure I was supposed to get married again, and went. And that's such a process that you have to go through. And then finally learning to trust in the Lord's timing. And just saying, hey, I'm just going to build my life with my family and my kids. And then all of a sudden, this great guy shows up, and he was the one I was supposed to remarry. But you've got to trust in the Savior, and you've got to, you just got to work, however it's going to
go. Great comment, and that's exactly right. Bill?
I remember my next-door neighbor lost his wife, and talking with him, for some reason, the idea came to me to tell him, this process is important that you go through it. It's part of your growth. Don't try to short circuit, and the pain and the loneliness, that's important in your, finding out who you are, where you are. Don't try to jump through that.
Did y'all hear what Bill just said? Okay, good. All right, so that's one of the things. That's one of the things that we want to get through. Bill's short like me, so we got to stick together. So here's the thing. Again, so principle number one, don't focus on marriage. Focus on being happy, okay? Okay, so impromptu here. Marnay just commanded me to tell my story about how I met my wife. So in my experience was, I told you I went online, and I met several people. And I don't know if you follow the same pattern. I'd go on for a month and then get off for a couple of months. And I'd get lonely again, and that would push me back online again. And then I'd get discouraged again, and I'd go back offline again. That was my style for a couple of years. Well, in that process, I met a lady online. We never met in person. We just exchanged email. And 2 years later, I was just getting out of a relationship with a widow. Incidentally, who I thought I was supposed to marry, and I say that because we're going to talk about that a little bit. I had some real strong impressions that I was supposed to marry this lady. It didn't work out. And as I was cleaning out my email, I ran across this email that I'd sent to this lady 2 years ago. And I just wondered what she was doing, so I stalked her on Facebook. And I sent her a message and asked if she was still single, and she was, and so I invited her to dinner. And I'll talk about our dating relationship because I think it's important at some point today too. But it was 2 years later. Frankly, if we had met the 2 years before, we wouldn't have married because neither one of us was ready. And you need to understand the timing in this stuff and how it works. So just be patient with yourself and with God.
Thank you. So I have a story. I'm going to open myself up here and tell you a story of what happens when you date when you're not healthy and not ready. My husband had been gone 6 months, and my daughter's teacher contacted me because he had just lost his wife 6 weeks earlier, and he was really having a hard time, and he just wanted to talk. And so I met up with him, and we started becoming friends, and we bonded on the pain, and then we started dating, and it moved really quickly, and neither of us should have been dating that early. The pain was just too raw, and he, within 3 weeks, decided that he loved me and I wanted to marry me, and I was taken back. I was like, man, this is just moving way too fast. I need to know a little bit more about you. Like, do you have any addictions? Do you like to gamble? Do you like to shop a lot? Do you have a pornography addiction? He's like, oh, no, I don't have any of those. But, you need to know that I am sleeping with another woman. But I don't love her. I love you. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm mad at God, and I'm trying to get mad back at God for taking my wife. And I'm just like, what was so shocking about that, this man was a very respectable man in the community. He was a fantastic teacher. Parents all over wanted their children in his classroom. He was a great father. He was a great husband. He'd been sealed in the temple. But then me, I'm thinking, well, God, he's just hurting. He'll be okay. So I kind of hung in there too long. But the thing about it is, what happens when you are in grief, there's a logical part and a heart part that need to be healthy to work in a relationship. Heart and mind. So when you become in grief, the logic just goes out the window, and you're just being driven by your heart. And that was going on with this man. He was just driven by the pain in the heart and trying to fix it. He wasn't thinking correctly. Bless his heart, he was hurting so bad he couldn't even think straight. And so that's why it's so important to take the time to heal, to get your mind and your heart back in sync again. And that's why it's so important not to make a decision, any major decisions that first year, because you're not yourself. You think you are, but you're not. And it can take 2 years, 3 years. Kelly said it took him seven.
Yeah. I mean, just how many of you that have been in the 5 or the 10 year class look back and remember saying to yourself, looking on the past year, oh, I feel stronger now than I did the year before? And how many years did you say that? Okay, so those of you that are young in this experience, keep that in mind. You do grow every year. And every year at the end, you feel healthier than the year before, and so you think you're ready and available. You may or may not be.
So just briefly, I just wanted to share a couple experiences of friends of mine. There's one widow friend I know. She'd been widowed 7 years and got married. And she was asked if it took away the loneliness, and she answered, it didn't take away the loneliness. It only complicated it. It was way too soon and was so hard. It took work at times, and I just wanted to give up. And then I have a really dear widower friend who met a woman, was married within 4 months. And he had some real concerns, but he just tried to kind of suppress it. And on the honeymoon, he thought, gosh, I think I've made a mistake. But he thought, you know, I'm just going to make it. Have a good attitude, it's going to work out. And it did work out. It worked out in a divorce and financial devastation. And it's so sad because this day he's still struggling trying to repair that damage of that just one choice. So I have seen a lot of my widow friends get out and start looking to date really early. Typically, it seems it's like around 2 months. It's really interesting. And the pain is so great, they say, I'll start looking for someone. And the scenario usually goes like this. They find a good majority of men are divorced and aren't interested in them when they find out they're sealed or if they have young kids. So that's hard. And so then they take this attitude on, well, I guess I'm just going to have to settle to find someone to give love a chance. Women, you should never have to settle. You deserve your equal. I've just seen it so much. You deserve your equal, and you deserve to be happy with someone, and you deserve to be happy single and married, whichever. It's possible. Don't settle out of loneliness.
Yeah, one of the things that I enjoyed as being a widower was the fact of the ratio in the class, you know. It was great for the guys. There were so many single women, but the thing is, it's really difficult for you sisters. There are more good women out there than there are good men. And keep that in mind. It's a struggle. It's a challenge for you. There's no question. It's a challenge for all of us trying to figure this thing out. And when we talk about all that we're going through, the vulnerabilities from loneliness, and some of the other things, again, I keep jumping forward, that we're going to get into, just be patient with yourself and try to do the best you can to get your life together. So what I did was I got into a kickboxing class. And it was a cardio kickboxing class. I was the only guy in the group. And I went there. I was still this lonely, you know, depressed-looking guy. And the instructor just took me under her wing and really helped me. And at first, I felt really strange because the first half hour was cardio. Well, it was a bunch of feminine moves that I was uncomfortable with. So I had a struggle with my masculinity for a while. But when we got into kicking the things and hitting the bags, I was okay with that. That was my thing. But over just a couple of months, it began to change me completely because it got my blood flowing again. It got my head working straight again. I started running and getting involved and doing a bunch of other things, and my life changed. And that was when I realized if I didn't get married again, I would be okay. I can be happy, and I can have fun, and I can make my life really enjoyable by focusing on being happy and being the best person I can be rather than so worried about finding the person that I need to get married to again.
So I remember when my healing started, my state president called me to serve as a temple patron in the temple, and what that calling meant was for me to attend weekly and do one ordinance a week. And I distinctly remember starting to feel peace. And hope just came into my soul because I knew if I could feel peace in the temple, I could feel peace outside the temple. And I started to try new things. I started to try, make new hobbies. And I became addicted to rock climbing and to hiking, and I started to make new friends, fun friends to do fun things with, and I started to travel, and all of a sudden I just had this new excitement for life again. And what else did I learn to do? Oh, I bought a fishing pole, and I learned how to fish, and I learned how to boat. And
guys love that, by the way.
Yeah. And I even went jeeping. There's just so many things I had never done, and I've probably done more things in my life in the last 7 years than I did my whole marriage. And it's all about trying new things, and it's just exciting and thrilling, and I've become strong again. So now we're going to move in to the next principle. So do you think we've enforced enough about finding joy in the journey without getting married? We're going to move into dating and the red flags.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about sex. No, I'm just teasing. We are a little bit, though. One of the things, keep on track now, the fact that we are incredibly vulnerable because of our loneliness. Now, add to this, my first experience of being touched by a woman, I know I'm just talking about my hand or my shoulder, whatever, my body lit up like a pinball machine. I was not ready to experience that kind of explosion within myself, and it was incredible. How do you think I felt? I thought I was in love, right? And it was so similar to what I felt with my spouse that it was confusing, and I thought for sure that this was the woman I was going to marry. So you need to be aware that this is what happens. So what we're going to talk about today is what happens to us chemically and in biology when we kiss or we touch, okay? There's a ton of research on this. They've even done brain scans to show where your brain lights up and what happens when you do that. So I'm going to read a couple of things to you that we get. So during a kiss, our brain creates a chemical cocktail that gives us a natural high. The cocktail is made up of three chemicals, all designed to make us feel good and crave more. So there's dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. The combination of these three chemicals work by lighting up the pleasure centers of the brain. Dopamine. This is released and stimulates the same brain activity that heroin and cocaine do. Okay? Now keep in mind, all of these things that are happening in biology have a purpose. Their purpose is to bond us to the person that we are in love with and to are going to be a mate with, okay? So they have their purpose, but when they're out of context, they mess with us. So this, as a result, we experience feelings of euphoria and they give us an addictive behavior. We want more. We want to go back. That makeout session was wonderful. And after all, like I said before, it is lip service, so we are performing a service. So dopamine creates this intense energy and exhilaration with it. It's what keeps you up at night, so you can stay up and watch the sunrise with that, you know, sweet little person next to you. So be aware of what that is. I need to change pages here. So, if I can get it. All right, so the next one is oxytocin. This is known as the love hormone. Fosters feelings of affection and attachment. It's what makes you feel like you belong to this person. This is the same hormone that is released during childbirth and breastfeeding. Okay? So guys, now you understand a little bit of what that might be. So it is released during physical contact, creating an emotional bond, especially in women. The more contact, the greater the bond. Last is serotonin. It's present in the brain while kissing, and it looks a lot like, when they look at it on the CT scan, get this, obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay? No wonder the memory of a good kiss can stay with us for years. So on top of this hormone rush and the brain's fear alert system, what in fact we do is we shut down the critical thinking. We are not logical in the way we are approaching dating, but we're completely emotional, driven by chemistry and hormones. And we're making life choices based on this. Our goal today is to help you understand what's happening to you emotionally and to your physical body so that you can take that into consideration. Those feelings that you're having, they may or may not be love. It might just be hormones. Okay?
So imagine, well, you all were married. You were getting these chemicals and endorphins and oxytocin, all these hormones all the time in your brain. So what happens when your spouse died to all those hormones? Just cut off. Like, you're literally going through drug withdrawal. So if you think about it, it's a physical withdrawal and a chemical withdrawal. You know, you can't sleep, you can't eat. This is all related to the grieving process. And some people want that drug back so bad, they'll do crazy things. You know, like go and get married really quickly or go sleep with someone like that crazy person I was dating. It's really a serious thing. If we can understand what's going on, we can make sense out of it. So there's a great relationship building tool that has been used to help people avoid getting into unhealthy relationships. It's called the relationship attachment model. And I've got a little demo for you so I can help you understand it a little better. There's five dynamics to it.
There's no more grant money for that guy to be able to do it, so you have to pay through the course now.
Oh.
And he's willing to do it if we get enough, if we get 20 people at least that want to go through the course, we can set it up.
I can't emphasize how good this material is. It is so, it's like vital that you learn it. And it's on the handout. It's called How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. Or jerk yet, whichever. it is so fantastic. So I'm going to give you a brief outline of it, and I don't want to take all the rest of the class on it, but as soon as we can get this visual up, well, let me explain while she's working on it. There are five dynamics to it, okay? The first is to know. In the meantime, do we want to talk about the different ways men and women date? Well, it's getting working. Okay, so as you can see, there's five dynamics to this. Know, trust, rely, commit, and touch. So if you can view this as like an equalizer on your sound system, as you move the bar up on each dynamic, it represents the extent to which you really know a person. For example, your best friend knows you better than just about anybody else. This knowledge creates attachment. To the degree you have opened up and shared yourself, you have become bonded to your best friend. You can then move to the next level, which would be trust, and so on. Over time, the goal is to have all five of the top level where feelings of attachment are strongest. So these bars at the complete top, okay? So in dating, it goes the same. Knowledge first. Take time to really get to know the person you're dating first. Spend time with their family. Learn about what causes them stress, how they handle finances. I mean, really get to know the person. This is the basic core thing you need to do when you're dating. And once you feel like you know them, then you can move on to maybe trusting them a little bit. So to the degree you trust them is how much you know them. Okay, does this make sense? So, this trust directs you in choosing what personal needs you have that you can rely on them to meet. You should be committed only to the extent that you know, trust, and depend on that person. And finally, any degree of physical involvement is safest when it matches the content of the levels of the other four dynamics. How many times have you heard people go out and say, well, I have to find out if there's chemistry. And so they want to kiss first or hold hands. That is completely backwards. And this is why we're having these problems in relationships and in dating and divorces, because they get mixed up. They can't think clearly anymore because they've touched first. Thank you. The most important thing to know about this relationship attachment model is to keep a balance among the five dynamics. Never go further in one bonding area than you have gone in the previous. You can't trust or rely on a person if you really don't know them. So, one more thing on that. take time to define, before you even start dating, what you want in a person. What core values are you looking for? What are your non-negotiables? I mean, get this in your head so that you're not, like, confused and uneasy in relationships and cause all kinds of anxiety and stress that I've been through. You know, I this is so good, so I highly recommend it. And do you want to talk about how we date now?
Just a quick experience. Let me tell you how I went through this process with the wife I'm married to now. What after learning from some horrible mistakes that I made in my dating sequence, I decided that I wanted to date somebody for at least a year. And I also decided that I wouldn't kiss for at least 2 months. Yeah, see, we get the laughs and we get the gasps. But I wanted to get through this process at least a little bit. And some of my dating experiences with her were reading books together, out loud to each other, like His Needs, Her Needs, and The Anatomy of Peace. Two books that I highly recommend, that if you read as a couple, it takes completely two different lives, and it will bring you together to the same page so that you get what life is about and what you both agree and disagree and understand. The Anatomy of Peace and His Needs, Her Needs. That was a lot of what we did on our date. The other thing I would recommend is that you travel together and that you go someplace for at least a week. I promise you, it melts down who you're with, and you know in a heck of a hurry who you're dating. Okay? It's perfect. It's perfect. And make sure that it's a tough place. Go on a hike. Don't go to the beach someplace. Go someplace where you're going to just be tested. Yep, and where you're going to be tested and have to be together and work together through the relationship. Did you want to?
No, I agree, 100%.
Okay, great. So just keep that in mind as far as this is concerned.
Add to that, but you have separate rooms.
he would add that.
Yes, I would. Separate rooms, please. It's more expensive, but I promise it'll save you the money in the long run. Okay? All right, so she asked me to talk a little bit about dating. This is one of the things that I didn't understand from a man. And sisters, I don't really know how to explain this, but we think differently than you do, as if that's a revelation today. But let me tell you some things. What I wanted to do during that time was be helpful. I would go mow lawns for widows. I would shovel their walks in the snow. You know, I was just trying to be helpful and nice. What I didn't understand was that the women were thinking that was me telling them that I was interested in them. I had no clue, okay? So know that just because a guy is doing something nice for you, I mean, I even bought things for people just because I wanted to be helpful. It wasn't because I was really interested in a dating relationship with them. So I know that might sound foreign. I don't know, but guys, are you about the same, or am I just the only difficult one up here? So that's one of the things. The other thing is kissing. You know what? I was comfortable kissing anybody. It felt good. I liked it. But it didn't mean that I was wanting a relationship. Oh, yeah. Marnie just reminded me. Thanks, Marnie. I was called a player. And I should have been called a player. Because I was happy. I mean, if you wanted to kiss, okay. I thought it was just this mutual experience. I didn't know that it had to mean that we were engaged or going to get married. Bill.
As a joke, I thought it was funny. I would ask most of the widows, will you marry me? Are you married? Would you marry me? As a joke.
Going around the circle.
Yeah.
He would go around the circle.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny. And Ginny finally says, that is not funny. So, yeah.
Just, ladies, just know that guys are really stupid. Nina?
I'm Nina. But when he suddenly said, I'm going to get married to the widow in Vegas, it was like, what? You just asked two or three ladies last week around the circle.
All right. So keep that in mind. One of the things that we hear often, sisters, is how brokenhearted you feel because you've gone in and you've invested in the relationship and the guy has returned that investment. And when you find out that he isn't as committed as you are, it hurts. That's part of how it is, but we wanted you to understand that that's how we are sometimes, us guys. We just do stupid things. We really are just stupid.
Well, I don't know if it's stupid. I just think men, for example, you can kiss and enjoy it. We're women, we get attached. And so, and when we're dating more for love. And men are dating to just have fun sometimes.
Yeah, just to have fun sometimes.
So
it can turn into love, but it doesn't always mean it is for us.
Is there anything else about?
No, I think we're good there.
Okay. I think that's it. I think we'll move in now to the last principle, spiritual deception.
Okay, so again, let's reiterate. We're lonely, and we are vulnerable from being alone. We now top that off with hormones and all these chemicals that just mess with us completely. And what ends up happening is we get into a scenario where we feel that God is telling us something about this relationship. I went through it myself. I talked about the one lady that I dated. I literally thought God was telling me that I needed to marry this girl. And she was wonderful. There was no reason why it couldn't be. I had, and I don't know how to say this, but it's just a matter of fact thing. In my dating time, I had 7 women who had revelation to marry me. And you need to understand that I took that seriously. I was raised that women are close to the Spirit. And when that happened, I struggled with it because I believed them, but I wasn't there. And so it messed with me a lot. My feeling is that because of those first two things that we've talked about, we feel and think things that may not be there. And sisters, let me say this. If you do have a revelation, which you very well might, don't tell the person. Because as soon as you do, we're going to run. It scares the heck out of us. Jean. That's correct.
We mix up
yep.
Feelings,
yep.
So you know, we need to keep that separate.
Yep. Okay.
No, I think that's interesting because I was just talking to Veronica. Some of you know her. She's. Yeah. Oh, well, thanks. She's another widower, a widow in our group. And she was just, we were just talking about that because someone talking about reading scriptures. And I think here at BYU, they counsel the students not to read scriptures together and go to the temple together until you're in that serious relationship because it does mimic that. And so they counsel you not to do that.
Yeah, so true. Okay. So keep in mind, we're emotional beings. So if you have something like that, keep it to yourself. If it's true, it'll work its way out, and it'll come to fruition. You'll get it. If it's not true, you won't be embarrassed by having shared it with somebody who will not appreciate the experience that you had. And inside of that, it's all about timing anyway. And you can be dating somebody right now who is just right for you, but they may not be available yet. And so God can say, if you pray about this thing, you can say, yeah, this would be a good match for you. And you get these feelings, but they have to have their own agency to come to that same conclusion that you do. Allow that process to happen. You'll find out in time soon enough. And I don't want to throw you off this compass because in our religion, if those of you who are LDS, we're taught to follow the Spirit. We're taught to seek it. We're taught to counsel. And this compass that we have is vital to us and what we do. But how many of you know what a magnet will do to a real compass? Anybody know? Everybody knows, right? Well, guess what the magnet is to our emotional compass? It's our depression. It is our, what am I looking for here? The hormones, all of those things make things look and feel different than they really are. So just please be aware of that, okay?
Anything you want?
I think we're supposed to end in about 2 minutes. Does anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to add? Janice?
I think that when you've been in a relationship after being widowed or whatever, and it was kind of devastating, whether it was every part, you have to go back. You have to start with. Marriage, and you had a good marriage and a good spouse, you've got to go back to learn, you know, that after the rest of my life, and
that's what gets you back and healthy to dating again. And then I don't think you're so devastated when you date and it doesn't work out for one way or the other.
You summarized exactly what we're trying to teach. That's the principle we would leave you with, is to please take time to become healthy and whole and happy single.
I said this earlier, so let me just say now, having been married coming on almost 5 years now, when I looked back and I looked at all of the heartache that I had in dating, all of the disappointment, the heartbreak, and even the hearts that I broke unintended, I look and I can see God's hand. I'm telling you, He is a part of your life. And yes, we need to learn these things. We need to struggle. It's part of where the growth is, and it's part of this experience we call life. Be patient with yourself. Don't force anything. Let it come to you. And as you're busy in your life being happy, more than likely, marriage will come along as part of that happiness process, not the design of it. Okay? I just want to bear my testimony to you today. I know that God lives, and I believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to know, most of you I've never met, but I love you because of our shared experiences. I know the pain and the heartache. It's bringing tears to my eyes now. I promise you that you are not alone. It may feel like it, but you're not. When you can look back and you can see the hand of God in your life, and then you realize finally He was there all along, it makes it all worth it to do what's right and to do what God would have you do. Seek Him, live by Him, and He will lead you through and around the pitfalls that Satan will place in your pathway. And I bear that witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And I'd like to close by reading a quote by President Uchtdorf. He said, "Our Savior, the Good Shepherd, knows and loves us. He knows and loves you. He knows when you are lost and lonely, and He knows where you are. He knows your grief, your silent pleadings, your fears, your tears. It matters not how you became lost. What matters is that you are His child and He loves you. Because He loves you, He will find you. He will place you upon His shoulders rejoicing. And when He brings you home, He will say to one and all, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' Jesus Christ will rescue you. He will lift you up and place you on His shoulders, and He will carry you home. Let us all focus on Him and trust in Him to guide us home and our journey. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."